being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. There is thinking shaped around the principle of lowliness by the only one who ever had an excuse to go the other direction. And if we would walk in the manner worthy of the calling that He has laid upon us, we must walk in humility.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment, but first we want to say thanks for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries in the iTunes store, where you can also subscribe to the podcast and get the weekly message sent automatically to you by clicking the subscribe button. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Terry as he preaches this week's insightful message.
How many of you, I think most of us will, but we'll see. How many of you remember a country music artist by the name of Mac Davis? Mac Davis? Several? How many of you think you could name what I believe, at least, to be Mac Davis's greatest hit as per Radio Time? That was Glenn Campbell. Yeah. Andrew and Shirley are on it. If you don't remember it, it goes like this. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror, 'cause I get better looking each day. Oh, if only. To know me is to love me. Got to change a word here. I must be some kind of man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. There were verses. We'll let them go. I set out in preparation for this morning to preach the whole passage of Ephesians 4, 1 to 6, and I hadn't got very far in developing what I thought was going to be just point one until I realized that it was going to be the whole sermon. So we'll be on this for a few weeks until I think I can develop everything. The central thought in the passage is that we should walk worthy of the calling with which we have been called. And we have all been called. We have been called out of the world and into the will of God in Jesus Christ. The very name church, which in the language of the Bible is ecclesia, means called out. Called out of the world. Called into the purposes of God in Jesus Christ. And if this is so, that we have been called from the world and into God's perfect wisdom in Jesus Christ, it ought to be easy enough to make a distinction between those of us who have answered that call and a world that still lies outside it. And so Paul says we must walk worthy of the calling by which we have been called. And it begins, though it does not end, with humility. Now, I'm going to spend a little time on the word, and we already, if we thought about it, really have a proper understanding of what is meant by the biblical word humility. But there are some background things that I think will give us a greater appreciation of it. So spend a little time on the word. And I don't really ever expect people to remember Greek words, especially big, long, complicated compound ones like this. The word translated humility is Tapinophrosune. There, got it said. Tapinophrosune. It's made up of two words. Tapine, which means low. And is the very word that Jesus used about himself in that passage where he encouraged us to take his yoke upon us. He said, "For I am meek and lowly." Tapine. Low. Phrosune means mind, or expanded phrosune means minded, which means to shape your thinking a certain way. Tapinophrosune means to shape your thinking according to the principle of lowliness. Now, let me get another thing in here. This minded business, this being something minded or the other minded, is a big thing in the Bible, to shape your thinking according to certain principles. In the 8th chapter of Romans, we are told not to be carnally minded, that is, minded toward the flesh or the world, but to be spiritually minded. That is to say that our thinking should not be shaped by the things of the world, but our thinking should be shaped by the things of the Spirit. And there are lots of other this-minded and that-minded phrases in the Bible, but they don't always create a special compounded technical term where the words are put together like this. It's usually just like we would say it in English. Don't be minded toward the world, all separate words. No need to create a new one. But in this case, tapinophrosune, the technical word was created, which we translate humility, to let your thinking be shaped according to the principle of lowliness. There is only one other equivalent minded special technical term in the Bible, and it's the opposite of this one, and I won't bother you with the word, but it means high-minded. To shape your thinking according to the principle of exaltedness or exaltation. As we translate the one which speaks of shaping our thinking to the principle of lowliness, humility, so we translate the one which speaks of shaping our thinking according to the principle of exaltedness, conceit, or being puffed up, as in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4. Now I need to do another thing with the language before we move forward. And that is to help you understand that the writers of the New Testament are not the ones who invented these words. They already existed in the Greek language in exactly these forms and meant exactly the same things for centuries before the New Testament was written, but Greek was the most widely spread language for them at the time, and so they adopted it to make the gospel as widely available as possible. But the words were already there, and they meant the same thing: to organize your thinking according to a principle of lowliness, or to organize your thinking according to a principle of exaltedness. But the people who invented the words placed values on them exactly the opposite of the Bible. If you were to read Plato and Aristotle, if you were to read Virgil, if you were to read any of that crowd, if you were to move even closer to the time of the New Testament and consider when the Greeks had moved into the Roman world, and you're talking about Pliny or Tacitus, if you read any of these classical thinkers, they will each and every one tell you that what you want to have is exaltedness thinking. And what you want to avoid at all cost is lowliness thinking. Stay away from this. Run to this. They taught that every man should recognize his own excellence and relate to the world as someone who can look anyone in the eye and feel worthy of their respect, exaltedness, thinking. And when they thought of lowliness thinking, they thought of words that we would use like servile and cringing. You can't look people in the eye. You bow and you scrape. And that was the most horrible way to organize your thinking. Another word that we have, just in case you think that we're the only language that doesn't invent big, stupid sounding words, we would say obsequious. Look it up. Now, they taught exaltedness thinking good, lowliness thinking bad. And they taught that the only people who drifted into lowliness thinking were either people who were unfortunately just born defective. They were born mentally a little slow, or they were born socially maladept, or they were born physically incapable, or whatever it was. These poor unfortunates have lowliness thinking. Or you can be forced into it. Even a prince can be captured in war and reduced to a slave, or a captain to a prisoner of war, and then because of bad treatment heaped upon them, may unfortunately develop lowliness thinking. But the model is exaltedness thinking. And this was not just the Greeks. If you were to drift into other languages, the Persians thought exactly the same thing. If you go further back into Old Testament times, the Babylonians thought the same thing. The Assyrians thought the same thing. Exaltedness thinking good, lowliness thinking bad. But the Old Testament and the New Testament agree, although the Old Testament has Hebrew words which mean the same things that I won't go into right now, but the whole Bible agrees that the world has it upside down. And the Bible is the only book from all those centuries of the ancient world, all those various cultures, the Bible is the only one to teach lowliness thinking is good and exaltedness thinking is bad. Let me tell you that the Bible is always backwards to the world. And it's why there is a thrust in the Bible to say, here's what's wrong with the world. They look at evil and say that it's good. And they look at good and say that it's evil. But the Bible is consistent in this. And consistent in its reversal of the worldly value. Lowliness thinking is good. Exaltedness thinking is bad. Jesus said in Matthew 23, God knows how to lift up the lowly. And he knows how to cast down the exalted. I won't mention any names. I will only say that once I was talking to fellow A, and fellow A asked me about fellow B. Fellow B was a new person who had moved into the area where I was, and fellow A had encountered him and wanted to know if I had encountered him. Did you meet fellow B since he moved into town? And I said, yes, I did. I've met fellow B. And fellow A says, well, how did you like fellow B? And I shouldn't have said it, but I will stand by it as the truth. What I said was, it hardly matters. Fellow B likes himself enough for both of us. And it was so. All things said, if we are to walk in a manner worthy of our calling, we must walk in humility, shaping our ways of thinking around the principles of lowliness. And in all of history, in all the world outside the Bible, and criticized by those who tried to wander this way inside the Bible, mankind has this core problem. We think too highly of ourselves. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, "The human heart is deceitful above all else and is desperately sick." You've heard it before, I said it now, but how many of you believe this? The human heart is deceitful above all else and is desperately sick. If we think otherwise, we think too highly of ourselves. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death." You've heard it before, I said it just now. But how many of us agree? The way that seems right to men is a lousy way. Well, if we think otherwise, friends, we think too highly of ourselves. Or how about Romans 3:23? "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Not just me, not just you, every last one of us has fallen to a position of unworthiness because of our sin. And if we think otherwise, we think too highly of ourselves. Paul follows up verse 23 with verse 24, which makes this point: because this is true, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We receive justification as the free gift of God's grace, given again, not because we deserved it, but because we needed it so badly. And once we have been justified freely by God's grace in Jesus Christ, we can still begin to undo all the good that has been done by reverting to thinking too highly of ourselves. And it happens to Christians who forget that all the merit is in Jesus Christ, and that any righteousness that we have is imputed to us by Jesus Christ, and that without Jesus Christ, we are only lost, sinful wretches, condemned, soiled, corrupt, too vile to stand in the presence of a holy God. Without Jesus Christ, this is all we will ever be. Let us not think too highly of ourselves. Exaltedness thinking does not suit us and does not help us. And we have this example. I told you that Jesus referred to himself as meek and lowly, that he organized his thinking around the principle of lowliness. If you're in Ephesians, it'll just be a couple of pages to turn over to Philippians, second chapter. And let me just read 8 verses in which Paul preaches the same sermon that I have been preaching and probably does a better job of it. And all the terms that we have been discussing reappear in this passage. "Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if there is any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind," there's the first term, "maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit," and I've talked about the term we translate as conceit. But with humility, and there we are again, of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others, and have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. There is thinking shaped around the principle of lowliness. By the only one who ever had an excuse go the other direction. And if we would walk in the manner worthy of the calling that he has laid upon us, we must walk in humility. Upside down to the values of the world. Organizing our thinking about ourselves and our mission and our relationships around the principle of lowliness. Perhaps as we consider our calling and the beginning, more to say in the next couple of weeks, the beginning of walking worthy of it, we need an opportunity to reorganize our thinking. Perhaps we think too highly of ourselves. And if you need to make that change, where you stand, or come to the front if you need publicly express something about it or ask for prayer about it, let this be your opportunity to begin a new walk in humility.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.